This is the story. This is a story of a drift between Betty and Pete Kramer. Sharon Douglas and Olan Soleil, respectively, play the parts, and we call it Pocket Guide.
Silence in this room. This is intolerable. You are in a court of law, not the fish markets. Silence, I say, or I shall have this case thrown out and all parties involved cited for contempt.
Your Honor, I beg the court's indulgence for my client. She was overwrought and inflamed by the defendant's callous indifference to the issues involved.
I object, Your Honor. How does he get off saying that about me?
My dear sir, your objection is well taken, and I shall sustain it. But may I state here, for your information, that since you have decided to defend yourself in this divorce case, you must try as much as possible to adhere to legal court terminology.
So what did I say wrong? I said I object, Your Honor.
True enough. But how does he get off saying that about me? That is not court language.
Okay, so I'm not a lawyer. So what should I say?
You should have said... Oh, never mind.
May I continue, Your Honor?
No, you may not, Counselor. I've grown weary of the slipshod manner in which you have conducted your client's business.
What?
Weary, I said. Downright weary. You may leave the court.
And what will happen to my client, may I ask?
Justice, of course. Now, Mrs. Kramer, this is no doubt confusing to you. It may seem to you that I am taking an unfair advantage, that I favor your husband's side. That is not so, I assure you. My only desire is to get to the bottom of your disagreement with your husband, and, if necessary, to grant you your freedom. Does that seem fair and reasonable to you?
Well, it sounds all
good.
Right.
You may leave, Counselor.
Very well. But I intend to bring this to the attention of the Bar Association.
Of which you will remember, Counselor, I am a past president. Goodbye. Now then, Mrs. Kramer, from the beginning.
Well, it really began when he... My husband came back home from the war. For a while, of course, everything was very lovey-dovey. But then he began to complain about my cooking. Wanted to know why I didn't use herbs and wines the way the French did. All he talked about was the war and what it was like in France. No matter what the conversation was, he'd work it around to that. If I said I'd been to the supermarket to do my shopping, he'd cut in with...
Supermarket? You ought to see the central market in Paris. Everything outside in stalls. There's a fish market there where they have the whole storefront woven out of reeds. And when it's time to open up, they just roll it up and bingo! There's an aquarium with speckled trout swimming around. And right next door, there's a dairy with fresh eggs and big glass bowls. And milk! They ladle it out to you from vats made out of zinc, I think. And talk about your cheeses. You haven't seen anything.
If I said something about buying a new suit or a dress, there he was again.
Did I ever tell you about the time a buddy of mine gave his GI overcoat to his girlfriend? You know how big and bulky those GI coats were. Well, this little French gal, she takes that old olive drab coat, snips a couple of places here and there, puts some pieces of rabbit fur in a couple of other places, makes a belt out of some GI webbing she's dyed, and you should have seen it. Fashion. What I mean, real class. Didn't I ever tell you about that? I could have sworn I...
Tell me about it. I'd heard it at least a jillion times. And it was that way with everything. He just went on telling the same stories night after night, day after day, till I was bored, bored, bored. Oh, bug-eyed bored. I was ready to scream.
For Pete's sake, what's wrong? Betty, for Pete's sake, are you all right?
No, I'm not. I'm going mad, stark, raving mad. And if you say one more word about the war, or Paris, or France, I'm going to start screaming and keep it up till they put me in a straitjacket. I'm sick of having your precious France thrown up to me every minute of the day. I just can't stand it anymore.
Honey, honey. Gosh, honey, I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was...
Well, if you'd stop and listen to yourself just once, you big boob, and think about me, maybe you would realize something. Maybe you'd understand.
Gosh, honey, I thought you thought it was real interesting. When I came back, all you did was ask me questions about Paris and the women and France, so I... Well, for Pete's sake, I...
For my sake, honey, you could talk about something else once in a while, couldn't you? If I'd been to France like you, I wouldn't mind. It would be fun talking about it because I'm sure it's as wonderful as you say. And it would just be wonderful to share it. But you make me feel like a stoop or something because I've never been there and don't do things the way they do.
Hey there. Hey, Pete's sake, we can't be crying. For Pete's sake, no. Hey, look, honey. I just got an idea. A real dandy of an idea. And I think it's going to fix things fine. I mean, fine.
Oh, it was a dandy little idea. It was so dandy, it fooled me completely. But it did seem a good idea at the time, to go to France.
Mrs. Kramer, if I may interrupt, a trip to France is costly, to say the least. How, if I may ask, did you manage it?
The union paid for it, Your Honor. They sent Pete on an exchange basis to study at an automobile plant in Paris. You know, compare methods, exchange ideas and techniques. It's quite the thing these days. I'm surprised at a smart man like you not knowing about that. Really, it would pay for you to keep up on these things. I mean, after all, in your job.
Yes, of course. And so you went to France.
It was like a second honeymoon. Oh, boat trips are so romantic. You just sail and sail and eat and sleep and... Well, as I said, it was like a second honeymoon.
Yes. And so you landed?
Yes, eventually. And that's when the honeymoon ended. That's when I first found out how he'd been deceiving me.
Deceiving you?
Yes. It was just after we'd landed and gone through customs. Well, that's done. Now what?
Now for the train to Paris.
I'm game. Where is it?
Well, the station, I suppose.
Where's that?
Well, let's see. I'll ask somebody.
All right. There's a man in a uniform. Why don't you ask him?
Huh? Oh, yeah, sure. Sure, in a minute.
Say, what are you doing there?
Nothing.
Then what's that you're hiding?
Well, nothing. It's just a book.
Well, is it something to be ashamed of? Let me look, too.
Oh, you wouldn't understand it, honey. You see, it's in French.
But it says Pocket Guide to France in English. Let me see that
but,
book.
Well, for Pete's sake, you don't have to be so grabby.
For use of military personnel only, prepared by Information and Education Division, United States Army. What did you bring this along for?
Well, it was just kicking around there, so I
French thought... language guide, greetings and general phrases. Why, you...
Now, honey...
Didn't you tell me you could speak French?
Well...
Like a native?
Oh, maybe not like a native.
To think that all these years I've swallowed that line of yours, and here you
okay,
are with
okay, so I don't speak it so good, so it slips away from you. Everybody has to brush up.
All right. You've brushed up. Now find out where the railroad station is.
All right, for Pete's sake, don't be in such a rush.
Bonjour. Monsieur?
Bonjour, monsieur. Madame? Que désirez-vous?
Huh? Oh, well, yes. That is, oui.
Où est la gare?
La gare? C'est seulement quelque part d'ici, 1 kilomètre pas plus. Prenez cette rue jusqu'à la boutique pharmacienne du coin, tournez à droite et continuez à marcher. Vous verrez la gare juste en face, comprenez-vous?
Yeah? Oh, yeah, yes, well...
You got that, didn't you, Pete? Because if you didn't, neither of us did.
Well, I got most of it. I think it's over that way.
Well, you can go that way if you like. I'm going to find someone who speaks English.
English, madame? I speak English?
You do? Look, we'd be ever so grateful if you'd tell us how to get to the railroad station in English.
Delighted. Simply follow this street to the apothecary shop on the corner.
Uh-huh.
Turn right and you will see the station directly ahead.
Oh, thank you. I was all set to get back and head for home. Something tells me we wouldn't have got very far on my husband's French.
Well, for Pete's sake, I'm rusty. It's been a long time since the war.
Of course it has, monsieur. I am certain you will pick it up again quickly.
I wish I were certain.
In any event, you will find that a great many Frenchmen speak English. After all, we have our revolutions in common, our world wars, and our desire for peace. Hello. Oh, why not our languages, eh?
Yes. But how on earth do you manage to...
Learn English, madame? We could hardly avoid it, madame. First the doughboys, then the GIs, and always, of course, there are the American films. Enfin, we learn.
You do beautifully. Well, What about you, Junior? What have you got to say for yourself?
I guess when we get back home, we better start taking in some French movies.
Well, we got to the railroad station, and somehow we managed to get on the right train. I suppose because it said Paris on it. But then came time for lunch, and there we were again, smiling foolishly at the waiter over the menu.
Madame? Monsieur?
Well, what do you have, honey?
You tell me, Mastermind. You're the French expert.
Well, let me see. This shouldn't be too hard. Book gives all the words for food. Bread. Du pain.
Oh, oui, monsieur. Du pain.
Yeah. And, butter. Du beurre.
Look, is bread and butter the best you can do? Maybe I should have packed a lunch back home.
I beg your pardon. Perhaps that I can help you to order.
Well, yeah, if you would. I lost my glasses on the boat.
Oh, now stop making things up, Pete. You certainly may, sir. Thank you.
It is nothing, madame. Shall I read the menu to you, or would you prefer that I order for you?
Oh, you go ahead and order for us. You know French food better than we do.
Very well. Des orders farineux, tornado sauce béarnaise, haricots verts, et mousse au chocolat.
Bien, monsieur.
Voilà. I take you are from America, huh? Or, as they say these days, le pays de Coca-Cola. The land of Coca-Cola.
Oh, huh? That's cute. Yes, we are. My husband's going to exchange ideas with your automobile people. He works in an automobile factory back home.
Wonderful. I am certain both sides will be enriched by the exchange. You were here during the war, monsieur?
Oui. 2 years.
Oh, then you know something about France and Frenchmen. But, madame, I take it has never been here, eh?
No.
I think you will like it. I hope you will like us. You will find, madame, that we Frenchmen are very frank and open. We do not hesitate to criticize ourselves or the rest of the world. And, of course, we are a gay people. Not frivolous, you understand, and not immoral, as some think. But, well, gay. Comprenez-vous?
Of course.
We believe in moderation. In food, in drink, and in love. That is part of our sense of order, which I think you will also find here. Above all, we respect logic. We like clearness. And though we talk a great deal because we like it, as you can see, néanmoins, our Frenchman never exaggerates.
Puis-je commencer à servir, hein, monsieur?
Ah, the food. I think you will like the sauce béarnaise, madame. Nowhere in the world can you find such a sauce. Madame Love?
Oh, excuse me, but I was remembering what you just said about Frenchmen not exaggerating.
Huh? Well, perhaps we do in matters of food. But then again, you have yet to taste it.
He was right. They don't exaggerate one bit. That sauce was heavenly. So thanks to our nice Frenchman, the ride to Paris was a real joy. When we arrived, he put us in a cab and gave the driver directions to the French auto plant, which was in the suburbs. We were greeted there with open arms. A person would have thought Pete was the president of the company back home, the way we were treated. The plant foreman called together all the workers and made a presentation.
Monsieur Kramer, it is a great pleasure to welcome you here. We look forward with eagerness to the many advances we shall make through your American how now.
Mercy. Honey, what's this how now he's talking about?
I don't know. Know-how.
Oui, know-how.
Know-how. Yeah, oui.
Your cottage, Monsieur Kramer. We hope you will be comfortable here.
Oh, it's charming.
Thank you, madame. You will notice we have tried to give every convenience to which you are accustomed, including le chewing gum.
Huh?
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you. It's perfect, isn't it, Pete?
Yeah, perfect.
And now, if you would like, I shall be happy to take you on a small tour of Paris.
Champs-Élysées.
Et l'Arc de Triomphe.
Oh, yes. Oh, Pete, look. Look at the children riding on those wonderful goat carts. Oh, dear.
Madame likes children? You will get along well with the French. Later at the Tuileries, you will also like the carousel. But first, to the Louvre.
Et maintenant, messieurs, dames, the Louvre's greatest treasure, the incomparable Venus de Milo.
Oh, Pete. Oh, please forgive my husband, monsieur.
Oh, it is not necessary, madame. He merely responded as a true Frenchman would. Allons-y, to a café now.
Oh, this is just wonderful. The way everyone sits around having coffee or wine and reading newspapers as if it were their own living room.
A national habit, madame. As for the newspapers, the proprietor furnishes them.
That's a nice custom.
What's this café called? Looks like assassins.
Correct, monsieur. It is called Les Assassins.
But why?
Well, not long ago, a woman tripped and fell downstairs and broke her neck. Then another man suddenly died while eating quietly at table. Eh bien, Les Assassins. It is a Gallic joke. Now, let us go to the Eiffel Tower. The view is magnificent, and if one is in a gay mood, one sails paper airplanes along with the children.
All in all, it was like the man on the train said, gay. Very gay. No other word for it. Then we tried to look up a buddy of Pete, Charlie Ballou, who was studying in Paris under the GI Bill. But he was off in the country, so we didn't see him then. After that, Pete settled down to work at the auto plant. Oh, yes, we were both very happy during those days. And for a while, it seemed as if France was going to be the cure. The plant gave Pete one of their cute little cars to drive, and one weekend we drove to Normandy, where they made the landing. That was important, too. I mean, because we could share it, that part of Pete's life.
Well, this is it, honey. It's a lot different than it was on D-Day. I mean, they've cleaned it up a lot, but... Well, there are some German guns over there still pointing at England. Right over here is where we landed. Yep. Right over here.
Hi, Buddy!
Hmm? Oh, hello. Do I know you?
I do not know. I am Yvette Baptiste. 600, 81st UM Laundry Company. Mascot.
Oh, well, I was with the infantry, but I'm glad to know you, Vet. How are things?
Oh, pretty rugged. You see, I speak English well. I mean, for 17. You come back to look around, huh?
Yeah.
Pretty beat up place, huh? Well, I do not think you will need a guy.
Oh, stick around, Vet. Many people come back here?
Oh, yes, many. For example, there was a very strange visitor. Came last summer. He did not speak as we rode to the Omaha beach. Just stared at the countryside. I walked down to the beach with him. Suddenly, he picked up a long stick, and holding it like a gun, he ran out into the water until he was up to his shoulders. Then he turned around and came toward the beach. He bent over, charged across the sand, and dived behind a landing boat. Then he raised the stick and yelled, just like I used to when I played soldiers with my brother. Finally, he stopped and regarded me. What am I doing here, he said. Let us go back to town. I think he was a soldier in the invasion, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess he was.
That night in Carentin, he got very drunk.
Didn't make any trouble, did he? I mean, I know how you French feel about people getting drunk.
Oh, no. He was drunk very quietly. We understood. After all, we are like one people. Buddies, huh?
Yeah, you got buddies. Come on, honey. So long, Yvette.
As we drove back to Paris, we passed several American cemeteries. At each one, there was an American honor guard. And, of course, there were French civilian workers tending the graves. But there were others, too, who apparently... Well, we couldn't be sure, so we stopped and asked.
Say, Corporal.
Yes, sir? Oh, Americans, huh? You wouldn't be from Kentucky now, would you?
Sorry, Michigan.
Oh, what can I do for you?
Well, we've been noticing people all along here dressed in black putting flowers on the graves, and, well, they don't look like Americans, so we just wondered...
Yeah, they're French, all right.
Is this some sort of religious holiday, Corporal?
No, no, this happens all the time.
Oh? Well, I know this sounds funny, but why do they come here?
Because they're grateful, maybe. Maybe just because they like us Americans. I don't know. You tell me.
Bonjour, Caporal.
No, Mama. No, no. What's wrong, Louis? Same old thing?
Oui, oui. Every time she make a promise to me, she will not cry. Alors, we come, it happen. So, it was like a song to us. It is to be expected, n'est-ce pas?
Sure, Louis. You take her home. Bonjour, Louis. Bonjour, Mama. Like I said, you explain it. He was just a PFC from Akron, Ohio. His folks were here last year, came to take him back home. But when they met Louis and Mama Foyer, they changed their minds. He's home, they said. They went back to Akron. These people make you feel that way. That's why I like it here. I'm proud to be here. I couldn't be prouder. Unless maybe I was one of them GIs out there.
There wasn't much to say after that. But as we drove along and watched all those French people putting their queer cemetery decorations on the graves, little painted glass crosses or glass bouquets, well, I cried like a baby. But Pete only stared, and all the blood seemed to go out of his face. And he kept muttering over and over again.
For Pete's sake. For Pete's sake.
Somehow that brought us even closer to each other and to the French people. We spent every weekend after that driving over the countryside. And everywhere we went, we were welcomed, whether it was a simple home or a chateau. Personally, I'd never been so happy. And then Charlie Ballou came back to Paris.
Charlie!
Hey, Pete!
You old so-and-so!
Hey, man, am I glad to see you. Boy, we're going to paint this town so red now, you hear?
Would you two boys like to be alone?
Oh, hello, Betty.
Hello, Charlie. Where's your paintbrush?
Huh? Oh, I get it. Still got that old sense of humor, hasn't she, Pete, huh? Well, right this way, kids, or as we say in Paris, allons-y.
Hey, where are we going?
You remember Marie, don't you, Pete? You know, the little blonde?
Oh, yeah, sure. Marie.
Yeah.
Huh? She's still around?
Is she still around? Oh, come on, let's go. Hey, they got a terrific show there this week. It's called C'est de la folie.
What?
C'est de la folie. That means it's crazy.
It was quite a show. When it was over, we waited outside the stage door for Charlie's girlfriend.
Yeah. Here she comes now. Hey, Marie!
Charlie!
Step out here, Pete, where she can see you.
Oh, mon chéri, quelle surprise, mon petit mouton, bonjour, Pete.
Ah. Oh, mother.
Hi, Marie. Marie, excuse me. This is my wife. My
femme, Pete. Hmm? My femme.
My femme.
Oh, elle est très pin-up.
What'd she say?
She says you are very pin-up.
I suppose I should feel flattered. What was she in the show? I don't remember her. Qu'est-ce qu'elle dit?
She wants to know what you said. Elle veut savoir quelle part tu avais sur la scène.
Oh, dis-lui que j'étais la troisième femme nue dans la scène de l'horloge.
Deuxième tableau.
Uh-huh.
Now what did she say?
Well, she said to tell you that she was the dancer in the second tableau.
Well, no wonder I didn't remember her. She's got more clothes on.
Oh, Betty, you're a real joker.
Qu'est-ce qu'elle a à rire, la mom?
Elle ne te reconnaissait pas, habillée.
Oh.
Oh, Pete, boy, you got some life. What a sense of humor. Full of laughs. Nothing but laughs.
Yeah. Not after that, there weren't any laughs. I didn't think it was at all funny, the chummy way she acted around Pete. Oh, well, I knew they were old friends, and maybe the French can't help being demonstrative with people they like, but he didn't have to enjoy it so much, did he? Did he, Your Honor?
Well, no, I expect not. I take it that you left France soon after.
Yes. By that time, I'd got over being jealous, and I'd pretty much decided it was silly of me to have been so suspicious. That is, until that telegram came.
Oh, yes, this one, Exhibit A. Darling, arriving New York Wednesday on Ile-de-France. Can't wait to see you. Well, and neither can the baby. Signed, Marie. Well.
That's what I said, too, Your Honor. But do you think he'd explain? No. He just kept mumbling about how I wasn't supposed to know. And then he took off for New York.
Quite the unmitigated cad. Mr. Kramer, before I grant this divorce...
Grant the divorce? You can't. For Pete's sake, I haven't had a chance to tell my side.
After this telegram, Mr. Kramer, I cannot conceive of anything you could possibly say that would alter my decision.
But for Pete's sake...
No, Mr. Kramer.
Well, if you won't listen to me, maybe you'll listen to somebody else.
Now, wait. Where are you?
Here. Come on in, Charlie. You too, Marie.
I am coming, Pete.
Yeah, boy. What do you want me to do?
Give me the marriage license.
You're here.
Marriage license? Oh, you're bigger.
Oh, for Pete's sake, Betty, don't start crying again. Here. Here you are, Judge. Exhibit B.
What? But this is in French. I can't read French.
Well, you can read the names. Marie Montiel and Charlie Ballou.
Man and wife?
Yes.
But what about your baby?
If you'd go over to the window and look out, you'd see my baby. A French car down there. I bought it just before we left France, and it's for you. It was supposed to be a secret.
But why didn't you tell me?
Well, for Pete's sake, how was I to know you'd start divorce proceedings?
Oh, Pete, I've made such a fool of myself. But I love you.
Then kiss me for Pete's sake.
This is a court of law. I will not have such goings on. Stop, do you hear? Stop it!
It is no use, Your Honor. C'est l'amour. People are all the same, French and American. They only want to be happy. Kiss me, shall we?
Now, don't
honey.
You start. Stop, do you hear? Stop! 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 Oh, for Pete's sake, what's the use? Case dismissed.
You have just heard This is the Story with Sharon Douglas as Betty and Olan Soleil as Pete in Pocket Guide. Original music was composed by Earl Lawrence with musical direction by Michelle Perrier. Pocket Guide was written for This is the Story by John Vlahos, was produced and directed by Robert M. Young. Bill Stewart speaking. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.